الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك استجب اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارحمنا برحمتك يا رب العالمين.
ইনশাআল্লাহ এখন আমরা শেখ সৈয়দ ফারুক আল হুসাইন আসাদী সাহেবের বয়ান শুরুই করব ইনশাআল্লাহ। আমরা সবাই বসি, সামান্য সময় বয়ানই করব ইনশাআল্লাহ। রিকোয়েস্ট করি আপনারা সব বসি ইনশাআল্লাহ। আল্লাহর পর মসজিদের মধ্যে বইলে ইনশাআল্লাহ নেকি থেকে আমরা খালি হইতাম না, এবং তখন ওলামায়ে কেরামত চেহারার দিকে চাইলেও আমরা গুনাহ মাফ হইব, এবং সাথে সাথে আমরা বিভিন্ন আলোচনা সম্ভব ইনশাআল্লাহ। আমরা সব
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، Alhamdulillah gives me great pleasure to once again meet with my brothers in Islam in Masjid Bayt al-Aman for the sake of Allah, lillah fillah. Everyone that's here is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in and of itself is a great favor for Rabbi Kareem. And no matter how much shukr we do, it's never going to be enough for that favor. On the way here, when we were coming, I was remembering the advice of one of my seniors, one of the mashayikh, that when you speak and when you listen, or when you do anything, any fi'l, any action, any deed that we do, amongst ourselves, individually, as a community, as a family, whether it's a word, whether it's something with our hands, something little, anything, could be, then it is not a big thing or a small thing. What do I mean by that? An action, an amal, is not big or small because we think it's big or small. I gave sadaqah That was a big amal, because I gave £100, £1,000, £500, whatever tawfiq anybody has. I did something big. I helped somebody get married. I did something big. I helped two people who were quarreling stop quarreling and fighting amongst themselves. I did something big. No. I rescued somebody's life that was about to die. Even then, it's nothing big. Why? Because big or small depends not what we think is big or small, but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers a great amal or an insignificant amal. So the action or the deeds or the words have to be something that's considered as such عند Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why something as insignificant as giving water to a dog by a woman who was involved in sin, in fahashi, in sin, and yet she showed some mercy and rahmah to a creation of Allah, a dog. It's in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, it's recorded, it's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ narrated to his Sahaba Ikram, which has reached us to this day, that here in Smethwick in Birmingham, we're discussing the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, which gives us hope. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the niyyah and He looks at the khulus and the intention behind it. One of the brothers phoned me earlier and he said, did we announce that you were going to be speaking at this masjid at Jumu'ah and so on and so forth? And I said, I can't remember and it doesn't really matter. Because if it's done with ikhlas and there's only two people in front of us, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And if the whole city is full and there's no room, and the only thing that you're thinking about is yourself, and there's no ikhlas, and there's no ikhlas there, they've come because everybody else was going to say, then there is no acceptance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the awliya Allah, the mashayikh, they're very hashash bashash, they're very at ease with these things. Ordinarily, people look at ratings, number of hits on a talk, following, so forth. But for the mashayikh, for our akabir, the ulama that we've had the opportunity to spend time with, and our shaykh and murshid, Hazrat Sayyidi wa Sanadi, Wahibbi wa Mahbubi, Hazrat Sayyid Shabir Ahmed Kaka Khair, Hafidhullah Ta'ala Al-Husayni, 35th grandson of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have seen that he's never been concerned about anything to do with numbers, publicity, anything like this. It's all about how can I make Allah razi? How can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And because of that, Allah has taken work from him all over the world. And it is inshallah, your and mine sa'ada, it is our good fortune, khush qismati, that Hazrat Shaykh will be arriving inshallah ta'ala on Tuesday. From Pakistan, he'll be arriving and he'll be visiting Birmingham for the first, coming after 5 years. Allahu Akbar. This is one of the main reasons of coming here today. One is that we've started a silsila because of the fikr and the ikhlas of the muntazimeen, the organizers, the ulama, in particular, Mawlana Abdul Rashid Sahib, Mudazilluhu, who always has concern, as do the other organizers, ulama, and friends and committee here, of how to bring people more towards deen, to the masjid, towards salah, so they can fix their lives. It doesn't benefit them, they're already practicing. They're already reading salah, they've already studied. But it's for the wider community. Because a mu'min, a believer, desires for himself, herself, for others what they desire for themselves. The khair that we desire for ourselves, we should desire for other people. Otherwise, it's what? It's selfishness. So before I share any words any further, I want us all, inshallah ta'ala, to take a moment to check our niyyah. To check our niyyah. Now, why am I sitting in this masjid? And you should be able to reach a stage in your niyyah right now, in your irada, through your quwwat iradi, through your strength of intention, that you'll say, I don't care who's here, who's not here. Whether the ins are here, the jinnat are sitting with it, it doesn't matter. Who's here, who's not here? Allah's masjid, I'm in Allah's house. Allah's rahmah is descending. Allah's mercy, Allah's favors are descending. I am fortunate to be enough to be part of that. How much must Allah love me? Allahu Akbar. So with that niyyah, if we have that niyyah, we'll attract the anwarat, the fayuzat, the barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they are there. They're constantly there. They're invisible to the naked eye, but they're there. I often give the example, you have a radio. You have radio waves floating all over the world, all over the dunya. The radio waves are floating. From Islam channel radio stations to Bangla channel radio stations specific for Bangladesh, for those for England, America, BBC radio, sports, music, halal and haram, qira'at of Quran, Kareem. Everything's going on the radio globally, internationally, in multiple languages around the world. But can we hear it? Right now, can we hear it? I can't. Can anybody hear it? No. But if you bring a radio, whether it's a DAB, digital radio, or it's a transistor radio, and it's working, and the circuit is working, and it's got power in it, or it's attached to a power point, a cable, a socket, or it's got batteries that are charged and working, then you can switch it on. But to catch the channel that you want, not the distracting music and different languages that we don't understand, we need to tune the radio so that it aligns, the needle aligns. When the needle aligns, then you pick up whatever channel you want to pick up, but it's there already. Similarly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a crude example, but it will help us understand inshaAllah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fuyuzat, anwarat, His rahmah, His mercy is constantly there. Especially in the masjid of Allah. It's in His house. Hadha bayt min al-bayut al-Rahman. This is a house from the houses of Rahman. So as a result of that, we should make the niyyah that I'm aligning my qalb with the niyyah for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faqat, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing else. Whatever khair, forget who the speaker is. Because he's nothing anyway. But forget what who the speaker is, but what he is saying, whatever khair Allah has placed for you individually, because of Allah's individual relationship with each individual sitting here, young, old, those listening at home, those listening internationally, wherever they are, whatever khair Allah has placed from this masjid to go out into your qulub, into your heart, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial. Say Ameen. So we'll take a moment just to solidify our niyyah, inshallah ta'ala, and then we make the niyyah, whatever we learn we will act upon, and then we will spread it. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is somebody who invites towards khayr, towards good. It's as if he has done the good. إِنَّ دَلَّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَعِلِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. One who invites to good is like he has done the good without the good being removed, the reward from the person who's done it or anybody else. Because Allah is أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. His treasures are full. Nobody is too sinful to be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody has committed too many ma'siyah, sins, to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, لَا تَقْوَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not be despondent and despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah's hukum. Allah is saying, don't despair. People say, you've done so many sins. Allah won't forgive you. Who are you? Who are you to speak for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we say to somebody, look, he's like this, she's like that. Allah won't forgive that. Astaghfirullah. Allah created that person. And then Allah blew into that jasad, into that body from His own ruh. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. And we blew into the jasad, into you, into me, the ruh, the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, that befits the dhat of Allah. We don't go into that too much, whatever that means. Not that Allah is inside us, but it is a amr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He blew that into the spirit of man. So no human being is insignificant. And then on top of that, if you have been gifted with iman, your significance and value rises. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your value rises because of iman. After iman, it is our a'mal. Maulana was informing me about the topic is peace of mind and peace of heart. especially for us. Nobody should think that they're too old. We're all Ahlul Shabab, inshallah. Everyone's youthful. Because your quwwat iradi, your quwwat of thought and intention will make you either young or old. I know young people who can't get off their backside to even read salah. Their shabab and their youth means nothing. And there are old buzurgs and elderly people in our community whom it physically is painful for them to get up from the middle of their sleep and be disturbed and to do wudu and to come to the masjid, and yet they come to the masjid. They come early so that they can be in the front row. Though they've got rheumatoid arthritis, their bones ache, their muscles ache, they have various illnesses, but they come to read salah. Because of them, there's barakah in the community, in our community, whether it's here in Northfield, in Smethwick, in Birmingham. Their barakah is because of these mukhlisin. So they are young, though their body may be old, but their ruh is young, because it is being nourished with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the thoughts of the pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing to bear in mind is, everything has a purpose. Har cheez ka ek maqsad hota hai. Everything has a purpose. And if that thing is not utilized for that purpose, it is wasted. No matter how valuable it is. You may have a machine, a juicer. A brother was recommending a juicer. He's recommending a diet for me for breakfast, saying that you should have these fruits and these nuts, and you should use this juicer, whatever it's called, khayr. If you have an expensive juicer or an expensive fridge, or an expensive car, whatever the thing is, for whatever purpose it's been made for, a juicer doesn't juice, that doesn't spin, it doesn't grind, it doesn't make the fruits cut into pieces, of what benefit is that? Dr. Arif, what benefit is it? It's of no benefit. A car that cannot move, that does not go, does not start, of what benefit is the wheels and the chassis, no matter how beautiful it looks from the outside? No matter how beautiful the car looks, it can have the chassis of a Lamborghini. But if it doesn't move two paces, what's the benefit of that? It's of no good. And people will laugh. He's got a car sitting in his driveway that can't move. There's no engine in there. Or the engine's in there, it doesn't work. But it looks good from the outside. It looks brand spanking new. And every day he's there cleaning it, making sure nothing comes on there. The alloys are so sparking that he can see his own face in the reflection in his aks. Subhanallah. And the car can't move. But he's thinking nobody else knows it doesn't move. They just know I don't drive it. He's fooling himself and other people. Similarly, a simple thing as a knife to cut vegetables and for fruits, anything, if it's blunt and it's not sharp and doesn't cut, of what benefit is that knife? It would be a waste, even if it costs hundreds of thousands of pounds the car, even if it costs millions. It doesn't matter, it's of no consequence, it's of no benefit. Anybody with aqal would say the same. Similarly, mankind, us, you and I, have been created with a purpose, with a maqsad. It's a very high, lofty, noteworthy, it's a very noble position that Allah has granted us. Allah created us and placed us as Khalifa Tullah fil Ard, His representative on earth, granted us Iman, and then without us being deserving of it, made us Ummati of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wallahi al-Azim, just this ni'mah alone of being an ummati of the Prophet ﷺ, it's something that removes all gham, all sorrow, all huzn. Taklif dur ho jati hai when we remember that we are ummati of the Prophet ﷺ. My father, Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, used to say he had stroke, he had fallage from one side of the body. When I went to visit him with my respected father, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he was bedridden, he couldn't move. But wallahi al-azim, in the masjid of Allah, I swear by Allah, I had never seen somebody in such, and he had heart and other issues as well, somebody so ill, yet so hashash, bashash and happy. And he would, even though he had luknat, he had stuttering and stammering because of his stroke, he would try and make you laugh because he was happy that people were uniting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say, recite this kalam, recite this, what about that verse of the Quran? So somebody who's been placed as a khalifa and a representative on earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must learn what his purpose is. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I say that, let me finish the sentence of Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtasar, rahmatullah alayhi. You know, you take the name of the awliya, it's like a coolness enters your body as if you drank cold, cool ice, zamzam. It feels like that. Because Allah loves them so much that their mere dhikr, their mere mention, makes rahmah descend. He said, when you are, Allah has called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, Ra'uf and Rahim also. Ra'uf and Rahim. And Allah is also Ra'uf and Rahim. So he said, when you and your ship, meaning the body, us, our body, our jasad, no matter how strong, how weak, how old, how healthy, how ill it may be, when that jasad, that body, that jism, is between the two kareems, kareemain, the two Rahims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what gham is there? What sorrow is there? Allah will never let us perish, inshallah. But there's some work to do. We have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us so that we could find our connection back to Him. Our connection back to Him. When people lose Wi-Fi connection, Allahu Akbar. Have you seen the faces of the people when they can't check their WhatsApp messages? Kabhi dekha hai? When they can't check their WhatsApp messages, it's like their life has ended. They can't check the Instagram messages. I don't know how many people have liked my selfie. I don't know what's happened. They don't have Wi-Fi connection. The data roaming is not working. It's run out. It causes such anxiety in the person because the connection has been lost. The ruh is in the perpetual state of anxiety deep down. You know this lack of tamaneen, itminan. How do we get peace of mind? How do we get peace of heart? Is the title of the talk that's been suggested. That peace of mind and peace of heart cannot come if the connection is broken, if the Wi-Fi signal is not working. Allah is there. Allah hasn't changed. Allah is Allah. Hayyul Qayyum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Munawwara. It's our connection to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's missing. And the first place to make that connection is where? Is the masajid of Allah. So alhamdulillah, that first part has been ticked. And that's only the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that either of us or any of us is here. And we should do shukr on it again and again. Who and how will we find out what's the purpose of our existence here? And not in some existential, philosophical way. In very simple terms. What does a khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fil ardh mean, on earth mean? It means he should find his way back to Allah because his ruh has lost his Wi-Fi connection with Allah. It is perturbed. The signal is lost. It needs reconnecting. That's why when people say we have anxiety, I have depression, I don't know why, I have money, I have children, I have a family, I have people, I have, nowadays, I have 10,000 followers, they say, on Instagram, on Facebook. These things should bring them happiness, they thought, but it didn't. They were not pleased. It didn't bring them happiness. They thought that an education that they should have had, if they had it, that would give them the happiness because they'll get status. They thought that if they spend this money on the car, people will like them, it'll bring them happiness. They drove it for a while, there's something still missing. So then they went towards other things. And that's what's happening with our youth all over the world, that they're going towards things that has been tried and tested not to work. Time and again, year in, year out, decade after decade, century after century, it has been proven in nation after nation that going towards these things will never fulfill the hollowness, the emptiness in the qalb, in the heart, that anguish, that longing. That can never be fulfilled with anything of the dunya because the ruh is not of the dunya. The jism, the jasad, the body is of the dunya. So it's food, it's nourishment, it's sleep. It all comes from the ground. The meat that we eat is of animals that graze on the ground. Vegetation that grows from the ground. From those who are strictly vegan and vegetarians. Even theirs is directly from the ground. The fish, it's in the ground though it's in the ocean. But there's an ocean bed. There's a sea bed. Everything's from the ground, but the ruh is from the command of Allah, from the realm of command, from the celestial, from the heavens. Its nourishment, its food, its ghiza, uska khana, asman se aata hai, jannat se aata hai. Wo kya hai? What is that? What is that? What is that nourishment? What is that food? What is that nutrition that we need? That is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we all know the ayah, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ عَلَى بَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْبَعِنِ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, verily, in the remembrance of Allah, and only in the remembrance of Allah, there is طَمَانِينَ. In Arabic, اِطْمِئْنَان, with that Hamza upon it, and طَمَانِينَ is beyond just feeling relaxed. It's not just feeling relaxed. It's knowing that you may have problems, you may have difficulties in relationships, in families. You're looking for a job, you can't find a job. You have financial issues, you're in debt, you're unwell. You're trying to get children married, you're trying to get married yourself. It's not happening. These are all common problems in the whole ummah. These are not unique. Pious people have the same problems. And people who are not connected to Allah have the same problems. But the ones who are connected, they have their Wi-Fi connection, their signal is not lost with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're involved in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are at ease. Have you not seen our brothers and sisters in Palestine? Have you not seen their faces? Have you not seen the shuhada? And the faces of their parents and their children and their loved ones? At such ease, after burying child after child, mother after mother, father after father is being buried, brother after brother is being buried with their own hands. They should have been getting their children married. They should have been going to their children's graduation from Alamiya courses and from universities, Sharia compliant. But instead, what are they doing? They're burying their children, janazah after janazah, janazah after janazah. Yet they are content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have not yet heard. Tell me if I'm wrong. You can speak up. This is mudhakira. This isn't a bayah. This is a mudhakira for my own benefit. Has anyone heard anybody from Palestine say that they're displeased with Allah? Allah, why Allah? Why us? Why us? Why have you done this to us? We're protecting Masjid al-Aqsa for you. Why us? Not a word. Not from their women. Not from their children. And not from their men. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakeel. That's all they say. This is the link. Their link, their signal, their Wi-Fi connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with their mashayikh and with the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Qur'an, with the Qur'an al-Kareem, with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not lost. It's there. The tarbiyah that's been done there, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So many lessons. So many lessons for us here. They have such an attachment to the Qur'an. The masjid has been made shaheed. And they're standing there, there may be a mortar coming this way, there may be a sniper coming this way. But without fear, they're doing sujood, ruku', qu'ud, qiyam in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're establishing salah, ittaqullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ittaq taqwa," and aqim as-salah, wa'at al-zakah, and establish the prayer and give zakah. And they're doing all the fara'id that they can in those circumstances. This isn't a story. You and I know this is happening now. And if we can't draw a lesson from the massacre taking place and the genocide over there, then we have become behis. We have become dead. Murda ho gaya. Main apne aap ko khitab kar raha hoon. Ki ye dil bimar ho gaya. This heart has become sick. That we're just like, yes, no, alhamdulillah, yeah, I read. It's very bad, brother. That's what my neighbor does. And he's not Muslim. My neighbor, Daniel, that's what he says. He says, yeah, it's very sad what's happening. Have we become so debased with our iman? Have we lost the value that Allah placed in us? And Muhammad gave to us. That we're saying, yeah, it's very bad. And then straight away, back on the TV, back on Netflix, back on Amazon Prime. Back in those who are listening further afield, in the places, one of the brothers said that the Muslims are going to nightclubs. Brothers are going to nightclubs, pubs. We're born and raised in this country. We know we've seen the things, we've been to university, we saw the things that people are exposed to. Now, when other people are being guided towards Islam, men and women from Australia all the way to Arizona, and from Senegal all the way to Greenland, they're taking Shahada in their droves, because they're saying, who are these people in Palestine? They're learning from Palestine, they're saying, well, who are these people? What religion do they follow? Nothing can shake them. Not their women, not their old, not their sick. He's got no arm. He's ill. He's got amputated. His leg has been amputated. He's saying, what time is Salah? Ya Allah. What's happened to us? How saqeem, how sick this heart has become. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدَ بُغْضَى إِذَا صَرْحَتْ صَرْحَتْ جَسَدَ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَ فَسَدَ جَسَدَ كُلُّ عَلَى وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. In the flesh, in the body, there is a lotra, there is a piece of flesh. In the body, there is a piece of flesh. If it is correct, then the whole body is correct. If it's good and correct, then the whole body is correct. And if it is corrupt and ill and sick, then the whole body is corrupt and sick and ill. And no, it is the heart. And not the atriums and the ventricles of the physical pumping station of the blood, of the heart, but the ruh and its spiritual markaz, the abode of feelings and emotions. Are your feelings and emotions in your atriums and your ventricles? It's not in the pumping heart, is it? Emotions are somewhere else. I love my parents with all my heart. I love my wife, and the wife said, I love my husband with all my heart. This heart, what is this? This qalb is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I do not look at your outward appearance, whether you're good looking, you're not good looking, whether you've had accident and you've had disabilities or you haven't got disabilities, whether you're born with some disability, whether you're healthy, whether you're unhealthy, whether you're fat, thin, Allah doesn't look at any of that. Allah looks at the qalb as-saleem, the correct heart, the heart that's connected with Allah. And there's some alamat about poaching here. You'll ask, what's qalb as-saleem? How do we know we have a qalb as-saleem? Well, the first thing is that I just mentioned, if Philistine does not shake us into thinking and reassessing our life, when non-Muslims from all over the world belong to every race at becoming a Muslim, because they are astonished and they are moved by the power of this deen, the power of this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Nabi that they have, that they're so attached to, that they're saying, I remember seeing a grandfather, he buried 9 or 11 of his family members. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will say to you, we will say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that we are happy if Allah is Rasulullah happy. We are happy if Allah is Rasulullah happy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the non-Muslims are benefiting from the lessons that they can gain, what's happened to us? Let each of us ask ourselves, I'm asking myself, I'm speaking to you, I'm asking myself, what's happened to us? When did we stop making dua? How can our hands be raised in our homes, on our jumu'ahs, in Masjid al-Ihsan, in all the masajid around the world? How is it that the hands are raised in front of Allah and dua is not made for Philistine? This is a sign of the sickness of the heart. When our family member is ill, jab hamari beti bimar hoti ya beta bimar hota ya maa baap bimar hota ya bhai behan bimar hota ya hum khud bimar hote, when we are ill and our parents are ill or our children are ill or our brothers and sisters are ill, then our dua knows no bounds. We are praying in the morning and the evening and at night time, when we're walking, when we're with other people, they're talking to us, but we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah grant shifa, ya Allah grant shifa. What will happen? How many janazas have we been to of our loved ones? How many janazas have you been to of your loved ones? And one day our janazah will also come. Before that, we have to take stock and we have to repair this heart. And alhamdulillah, like I said at the beginning of the conversation, we are between the two raheems, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have Kitab Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of these two, we can never be misguided, inshaAllah. But we have to make an azm, we have to make an irada. It has to be qawi, that after today, I will never displease Allah. Bil farz agar ho jayega, and if it happens, because we are human, kullu bani adama khata'un wa khayla khata'un, khata'ina tawabu. All the children of Adam are at fault, they make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But the best amongst us who make mistakes and the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam are the ones who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first step, أول الإقدام المريدين, the first step of the murid of Allah, someone who has irada to come closer to Allah, who loves Him, who created Him, who fashioned Him, who gave Him existence. Not this, you're just one of many life sources in a billions and billions of different galaxies, and you're just a worthless nothing. There's life on Mars, there's life on there. I don't care about Mars. Mars doesn't matter to us, we care about Earth. This is where our Kaaba is, this is where our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried, this is where Madina Munawwara is. And this is where we are. Our amal have to be done on here. We're not going to waste time thinking about, this is all a distraction. Wallahi, I believe it's all a distraction. Research, technology, astronomy, do all of that, good. But to be delving into deep philosophical discussion about that is a waste of time. We're in an emergency right now. This is an emergency time. This is a time where you are either with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we will fall into the trap of being a people of Dajjal. Not intentionally maybe, unintentionally. So there are a few things that we need to do. And my khitab to the youth, I said everybody is youthful here. Alhamdulillah, they are genuine. And age doesn't matter here. And those listening, wherever they are listening, whichever country, wherever they are, men and women, we're all youthful inshallah ta'ala. There are seven that have been promised the shade of Allah. The shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there's no shade except His shade. It's a famous hadith. Amongst the seven are a youthful person who spends their youth worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. They will get the shade of the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there will be no shade. My family members, my mother, father won't be able to rescue me. It'll be nafsi, nafsi. Your parents, your friends, your family, wives, husbands will not be able to help each other. Us, we won't be able to help our children. It'll be nafsi, nafsi. On that day, Allah will grant certain people shade under the arsh of Allah, under His throne. The majestic throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't even imagine it. The majestic throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant them shade. Which means that they will be protected from the blazing heat, trauma, anguish of just the waiting for the Hisab Kitab to start. Not for Qiyamah, for the Hisab Kitab to start. Not for the actual fire of Jahannam, for Yawm al-Qiyamah, but not for the fire of Jahannam. So we need to take stock and we need to be amongst those people who are in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another, there's seven, there's a famous hadith, I'm not going to go through the seven. Amongst those seven is also somebody who had the opportunity to commit haram. They had the opportunity to commit sin. Man or woman, they had the opportunity to commit zina with the eyes. To look at something haram, a haram channel on TikTok, on YouTube, haram website, in the streets, it's summer. People not dressed appropriately. And I don't even mean Islamically appropriately. Even in Christianity, even in Judaism, even in other cultures, there was some dignity that the dress code should be such of modesty. If you look at some of the pictures of Victorian England, Victorian England, we're not talking about Muslim, we're talking about Victorian English men and women. How are the women dressed? With layers and layers. And we are being told that our women should take their hijab off, and our women should take their dupattas off, and our women should take their burqas off, and those sisters who do niqab to take their niqab off. And we say very politely that look at your own ancestors. I say this to my neighbors, look at your own ancestors. They were dressed with corset on top of that, there was another garment, on top of that was another garment, and then there were gloves, they wore gloves. Allahu Akbar. And they had veils as well. And if a man wanted to approach a woman, astaghfirullah azim, because fitna was fitna, they were not Muslims, you know what they had to do? You couldn't even speak to them. It was considered a bad woman if they did that. I'm talking about non-Muslims in Victorian England. The man would drop a handkerchief. And if the woman was somebody who wanted to commit sin, she would pick up that handkerchief. You know how people drop their numbers nowadays? I was in a traffic light. May Allah forgive that Muslim brother. He saw some girls and so he wrote his number down and he threw it in through her window. So I said to the brother that I was with, we're going to drive further on and we're going to go and pull up at the next traffic. I make dua, we can stop next to the brother. We stop next to the brother. So brother, what are you doing? Why are you doing? The woman was Muslim and he was Muslim. Your sister, she goes out of the house and a man does that, what feeling will you have? If your daughter does that, somebody does that to your daughter, what feeling will you have? Some of us are fathers and parents here. We have boys and we have girls. If somebody did that with our daughter, would we be forgiving that? So how can our youth be going up to women, Muslim or non-Muslim? Because whatever sin anybody intends to do with somebody, somebody will end up doing the same sin with a family member of yours. This is the tajurba experience of the ulama and mashayikh. Once, Ya Allah, Ya Kareem, a man who had committed zina with many women, he did tawbah later on, but amongst his granddaughters, he later found out that Allah protect all of our children and our youth, all of them, wherever they are around the world. They're all daughters and the ummati of the Prophet ﷺ, right? So they were, people did the same thing with them. And he said, he was old then, I didn't meet him, this was related to me. He said, I know why this has happened. This is because I spent decades committing zina with other people's daughters and sisters. So now Allah has punished me in this dunya. He may have accepted my tawbah, but he's punished me in the dunya that I have to suffer the wabal, the suffering of the consequences of my actions. One day, a famous story, a son was dragging a father by his head. He was pulling his father across. So people said, what are you doing? What are you doing? To your father, astaghfirullah. Fathers are such merciful people on their children. He has done so much for you. Why are you doing this? He said, he didn't answer him. He said, you don't know what he is. He's a zalim. He doesn't let me do this. And then the father said, let him do what he's doing. Let him do what he's doing. Let him take me to the tree. Let him take me all the way to the tree. Let him drag me and beat me and take me to the tree. They said, why are you saying to your son, let him do this? He said, because I did the same to my father. मैंने अपने बाप के साथ भी ऐसे ही किया था तो आज मेरा बेटा भी मुझे ऐसे ही कर रहा है. My son is doing the same to me. But لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person does tawbah with nadam, because nadam, nadama, remorse, regret, I feel bad for what I've done. It may be something I said to somebody. It may be a promise that I broke. It may be something I looked at. Maybe something I paid attention to with my ears that I shouldn't have. Maybe I talked about somebody behind their back. But if they're in front of me, I would not have said it. And I accidentally ended up doing ghiba. Peet peeche baat ho gayi, ghibat ho gayi. I've done some ghiba. Whatever we've done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do tawbah and regret it. If you regret it, you don't even have to raise your hands. You can just intend it in your heart that Allah forgives straight away. Arham al-Rahimeen, Akram al-Akrameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy envelops everything. Because our sinners, our guna, our ma'asiyah, our transgressions, our wrongdoings, our haram khori. Lafz tura sakti samal kiya malam. Mazat. Our haram khori and our violating Allah's rules and regulations for our betterment, no matter what we've done, they can be as huge as mountains. But Allah's, and it's still mahdood, this is still limited. Even if it's a million mountains, the size of Everest, or a trillion, they're still mahdood. They're still finite, they still have a number, an adad, an amount. But Allah's rahmah is ghair mahdood. La mutanahi. There is no shore. There is no seashore to Allah's rahmah. It's so wasi, it's so wide and all-encompassing that it takes in everything. In fact, in the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Rasulullah s.a.w. narrated us to the ummah so that we can discuss in Masjid al-Bayt al-Aman today, and I'll paraphrase the hadith, if all of mankind and all of jinn from the beginning of time until the end of time and the first of them and the last of them were to stand on one plane, and they asked Allah for everything that was in their heart, every wish, every desire. They asked for every dua that they wanted for themselves, for other people that they love and care about, everything that they asked for. And Allah gave them everything that they wanted. And if Allah gave them everything that they wanted, fulfilled all of their wishes and du'as, then this would not detract and minus from Allah's treasures even the amount of a bird who dips its beak into the ocean, into the bahar, and it removes its beak, or a needle dropped in to the ocean, and the tip of that the amount of water on that needle, Allah's treasures would not deplete even to that amount. Subhanallah. These are the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Allah, that Arhamar Rahimeen, that Akram al-Akrameen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana, turn the light on, please, somebody. Turn the light on for me. Jazakallah khair. Not that one, just these ones here. Jazakallah khair. So I can see the Nurani faces of the brother sitting in front of me. Huh? Alhamdulillah. Jagmagare, Noor ke saath, Iman ke Noor ke saath. Everyone here is mu'mineen, alhamdulillah. And the ummati of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they love Allah, and Allah loves them. Because they're here. Because who gets tawfiq to come to your house? People that you like. Well, have I been to your house? Astaghfirullah. Maulana is a very good friend of mine. For us, a mazak chal jata. A little bit of joking is fine. Right? But we invite people that we love. Maulana is very busy and has invited us many times for many different things. May Allah reward him. It's his invitation that we're here. We sit before you for the sake of Allah in the hope that maybe a few of our words will benefit us and maybe somebody else will benefit. Inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rahmat encompasses everything. So we should all make a firm resolve to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Habib, Al-Mustafa, the chosen one, the beloved of Allah, would repent to Allah more than 70 times a day. He would do istighfar more than 70 times a day. And the Anbiya, the Prophets, they're sinless. They have no ma'asiyah. They're ma'asoom, ani al-khata. They do not commit sins, errors, mistakes like that. And the awliya Allah, Allah can make them mahfooz. But everybody else, like the hadith said, all the children of Adam make mistakes. But the best of those who do tawbah. So we should repent. So what I want to do, after one or two other things I want to share in the next few minutes before we do some dhikr, inshallah ta'ala, is we should start with tawbah. There are various kalimat for tawbah.
In Arabic?
Tawbah doesn't need to be in Arabic. It can be in Bengali, it can be in Gujarati, it can be in Farsi, it can be in Kurdish, it can be in German, it can be in Mirpuri, it can be in any language you want it to be in. It's your connection, your Wi-Fi signal connecting back with Allah. And when you get your five signals, meaning your five salawat, you know you have the signal bar, like this, the curve. How many signal bars have we got? We've got two bars here, three. It was three and two, and see, my signal is weak as well. My signal is weak with Allah. Make dua, Allah makes my signal strong as well. You're saying Ameen for me, inshallah, I say Ameen for you as well. The signal, and Qadr Allah, it has five. I did not know this, Allah just put this in our heart. Five signals. When your signal is five, which means the five salawat, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Once we were in the company, I was about 11, 12 years old, and I was traveling somewhere. I was at home and I was reading Hazrat Shaykh and his Khulafa'i Kiram, Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarallahu Murtadahum, and his Khulafa'i Kiram. I was 12 years old. And I was reading the life of Mawlana Kifayatullah Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali. Mawlana Kifayatullah Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali. He was alive at the time. I didn't know he was Rahmatullah Ali. He's Rahmatullah Ali now. May Allah elevate his rank in Jannah. I made dua, Ya Allah, I want to meet him. Just his story was so beautiful. He did hifz, he did work in his local community. His local community weren't accepting him. He made effort, he didn't give up. He treated them with love. They didn't want to hear it. When you're doing haram, amal, you don't want to hear the truth because it's going to make you feel guilty. Who wants to sit there feeling guilty? You want to feel like you're king of the world. Relax in your car like this, king of the world. Literally like this, right? Looking there, the brother's got the same thing going on. You're looking like a squirrel, huh? Popping up like a mongoose, coming up every now and then just to see if there's any cop car, police car behind you. No, okay, I'm insured. It's actually my brother's insurance, but I'm going to say that I'm his brother, and I'll drive the car illegally. Allah, 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 Ya Allah, Ya Rabb. So Mawlana Kifayatullah, Rahmatullah, I made dua that Allah allows to meet him. And I got a phone call from my brother. He's much older than me. Obviously, he's driving a car, I'm 12 years old, much older than me. And he said, what are you doing right now? I said, I'm reading this kitab. It's an Urdu kitab. He said, whose life are you reading? I said, I'm reading Mawlana Kifayatullah Palampuri Rahmatullah's life. He said, Hazrat is sitting with me, next to me. He's come from India, he's sitting with me. I just picked him up from the airport. Udu'uni yastajib lakum. Call out to me now. And I will answer. Allah answers. Allah kisi ki dua ko raiga nahi karta. Allah does not let anybody's dua go to waste. Nobody. Doesn't matter if you committed 100 murders. Allah still answers your dua. It's Allah. It's not me and you. It's Allah. Rabbi Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. You have no idea of Allah's mercy, how much He loves His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation so much that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Habib al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith that a man is traveling in the desert in the heat of the sun. These words are mine extra, they're not in the hadith, but I'm giving you the image and paraphrasing the hadith. Imagine this with your tasawwur, with your quwwat al-takhayyul, with your thoughts and your mind. Imagine this, that the man is going in the desert of Arabia, and the heat of the sun, 42, 45 degrees sun, maybe 50 degrees sun, beating down, midday sun. He's got a camel or a donkey with him, his ride, his mode of transport. It has water, it has some tamar, some dates, some khujur. It has some things of nourishment and some energy. It has it there for his survival. Enough so that he can make it to wherever he's going. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he takes shade underneath a tree. He sees a tree, he takes shade underneath a tree. It's too hot. When he closes his eyes, because he's so tired, he falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, he doesn't know how long he's been asleep. But when he wakes up, he sees that his ride has gone. His donkey, his camel, with the water and the food, it's all gone. Now he knows that death is certain now. He's convinced that death is certain. How is he going to survive? He's a long way to go. He's not going to survive the desert. No way. He's not going to survive that. So he is just ready to die, and he is just waiting for death. And then, all of a sudden, because of his low energy, some sort of semi-consciousness, unconsciousness falls, or sleep overcomes him. And then he wakes up again, and then he sees that his camel and his donkey is there, with everything there. Allahu Akbar. He is so happy. He is so happy that he says, Anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Ya Allah, anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. You are my abd. Anta abdi, you are my abd, my slave, my servant to Allah. He's saying to Allah, Anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. And I am your Lord. He didn't mean to say this. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's so happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Habib al-Mustafa is saying, imagine this. He's telling, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us to let our minds go towards that. Imagine how happy he must be to say some words of kufr. It's not kufr because he is not in his ikhtiyar. He's not in his self. He's overwhelmed. He's madhur. So he's made an error in his statement. Right? Husbands regularly in their joy make errors of statement in front of their wives. And the wives remind them, you said this, right? Subhanallah. May Allah reward them. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah rahimullah ta'ala used to say, value your wives. In a wife you have, and this doesn't mean she's only this for the feminists out there who are listening, but you have a you have a cleaner, you have a dishwasher, you have a mother, you have a cook, you have a friend, you have somebody with mudawwa and rahmah and love, somebody to share your life with, for taskeen, for tranquility, to share joys and grief with, to raise a family with, a companion. Adam al-Islam needed a companion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Ma Hawa alayhi salatu wassalam. So he said, if you had to pay for all of these different professions, how much would you have to pay? Hazrat used to say, if you had to pay what your wife does as one woman, how much would you have to pay? So she really is the CEO. She's the chief executive officer, or in some cases the home minister, because she signs the visa. Where are you going? Masjid, Bayan. Okay, go. Let's see what you learn when you go to the masjid. Alhamdulillah. The reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the servant says, Anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. You are my servant and I am your Lord. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased. Ashaddu farhan. The words of the hadith are, Ashaddu farhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even happier than this person saying this. With what? What pleases Allah more than what you can imagine this person being happy with, who's about to die and all his food and drink comes back, that he says words of kufr. That is when a person who's committed haram, man or woman, brother or sister, they've done errors, they've made mistakes, they've disobeyed Allah, they've made the salah qaza, they didn't keep the fast of Ramadan, they've never given zakat in their life, they've looked at haram, they've done haram, they've said haram, they've eaten haram, they've taken bribery, they've taken interest, they've taken riba, all of these sins. But when they repent and do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah becomes so happy. Ashaddu farhan. More than this person. Ya Allah. So nobody is beyond the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I finish with this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the man who killed 99 people. The qatil of 99 people. You killed two people and you're called a serial killer. You're called a psychopath. Three people and you're in max prison. Maximum security. And if you're in those countries that have capital punishment, and that's not just in Hijaz, also in states in America and other places, the electric chair, the lethal injection, people have a problem with our hudud of Sharia. They should evaluate some of the other hudud that they have in other countries first, and also look at the crime statistics. Khair, we don't want to go off on a tangent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was I saying, Abdul Halim? One by one. What was I saying? Qasim, what was I saying?
There's like 99
letters. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Two people are right, I'm sure everybody else also. Everybody's going, yes, yes, yes. What are he saying? Right, MashaAllah. 99 murders, two murders, three murders, psychopath, maximum security prison. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to us that he committed 99 murders. Can you imagine that? We wouldn't even walk down that street. We'd change cities. We'd say, look, we better leave, forget the street, leave the city, let's go somewhere else. And the wife would say, let's go. We're not raising our children where there's somebody who's murdered 99 people. He went to somebody. He asked people, will Allah forgive me? They said, 99 murders. Look, go to somebody. He's a pious servant there. He does a lot of ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may be able to help you. So he went there. He was an abid ghayr arif. He was a worshipper, but he did not have the cognizance of Allah and Allah's mercy. He just knew that he wanted to worship Allah. He's in love with Allah. Very simple, done. So he could not benefit the other person. That is why the mashayikh, they benefit the people. And we'll talk about a great sheikh that's coming soon, inshallah ta'ala. So he was a ghayr arif, but he was the abid. What did he do? What he did is, he said, Allah's not going to forgive you 99 murders. It angered him so much because he was already somebody that had the illness of anger. So he killed him as well, made it 100. Allah, now 100 murders. Now what does he do? But he's got iman, he's got remorse, he's got nadama, nadam, guilt, contrition. He feels bad for what he's done. He knows there's an Allah. He knows that I didn't have the haq. Only Allah has the haq to take somebody's life. Not me. At my hands another believer dies. So he felt bad. So he said, will anybody forgive me? They said, go to Fona place, Basti, town, village. There is a man there. He is an alim and he is an arif. He is one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arif billah. And for the ulama in the tafsir of Alama al-Alusi, Sayyidina Mahmud al-Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, in the Ruh al-Ma'ani, he has mentioned the name of that basti as well. He has mentioned the name of that basti. It was called Nasara. And the basti where he committed the murder was called Fajra, Ajib. Nasara Yansuru means to help. And Fajra, that which is apparent, like Fajr. Here it means Fujur or sin. So the basti was called Fajra where he committed the sin. Ajib, Allah's Qudra. And Nasara was where he was going to get help to do tawbah. He's going to get help to do tawbah. That's what the mashayikh do. They help people to get reconnected. They connect their Wi-Fi connection back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ittisal, Billah. So he went there, on the way he felt death was upon him. Sometimes you can tell you're about to die. Fir'aun in the Quran is mentioned, he knew that death was upon him. Because you can see the angel of death, Malakul Maut. You can see Malakul Maut. That's why if you've ever seen somebody who's in his last moments, their eyes roll up, the ruh, it leaves from the feet all the way and then last of all it comes out from him. And that's why the eyes roll back. And sometimes the eyes roll like this because the soul is being taken up. depending on the person, they committed sins, it's ripped out of them. And if it's somebody who is pious, it's taken out with gentleness, with itr and mushk and fragrances. It's wrapped up and given like an honor. Go, 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 until they go to the heaven and they're brought back into the grave. This isn't a talk about journey after death, maybe another time inshallah ta'ala. But what happens? This person, Ya Allah, Ya Kareem, kahan pathe? Baat bhul jate hain. Where were we? Muhammad? Say, speak louder. Yes, he was dying. MashaAllah. Yes, what he's saying. So, the person on the way, this murderer of 100 murders, he is dying on the way. He knows he's dying. So you know what he... So he died. The malaika came down to take him. The angels came down to take him to Jahannam. Because he's committed 100 murders. No joke. 100 murders. They came to take him. Then the angels came down to take him to Jannah. And they had a conversation. Mukalima. They had a conversation. And they said to each other, why have you come? He's committed 99 murders. They said, yeah, but he's going to do tawbah. So Allah knows everything, but Allah asks, what's going on? What are you speaking? What are you saying? They're saying that he should go to Jahannam because he's committed 99 murders, 100 murders. They say, no, he was doing tawbah. His irada was good. His intention was good. Death is not as an ikhtiyar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, okay, measure, do paymaish, measure the distance of the lamb. If he is closer to where he committed the last sin, the guna, the ma'asiyah, the murder, the qatl, if he's closer to that place where he shed blood, then he will go to Jahannam. And if he is closer to where he had intended to go, Nasara, where he's going to do tawbah with the Arif Billah, with the Shaykh, he's going to learn the path of tariqah, of suluk, of tazkiyah nafs and tasfiyah qalb. If he's closer to that, we'll take him to Jannah, inshallah. Allah, we'll take him to Jannah, we'll give him Jannah, we'll forgive him. So the angels came to measure, and he was closer to Fajrah, the place where he committed the qatl and the murder, the crime, the scene of the last crime. The 100th murder. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did is Allah created more distance between the scene of the last crime and ma'asiyah and sin, and He shortened the earth and distance between where He was going to do tawbah. So the malaika said, Ya Allah, what kind of adl is this? What kind of justice? You are al-adil. What kind of justice is this? Not in terms of an argument. That's just my voice. But they said, Ya Allah, what is this? Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَذَا فَضْلٍ فِي سُورَةٍ عَدْلٍ. You have to look at the shuruhat for this. It's not in the hadith. هَذَا فَضْلٍ فِي سُورَةٍ عَدْلٍ. This is the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. This is the grace of Allah in the appearance of adl and justice. Because guess what? Allah's justice and laws of you do this, you'll go to Jahannam. You do this, you'll be punished. You'll be done this, this will be happen to you. That will happen to you. Those are the rules, yes. But Allah is not bound by His own rules. Allah is ahkamul hakimin. Allah's laws cannot even do hukum on Him. The laws may say that Farooq has to go to Jahannam, right? The laws may say that. And only Allah knows who will go to Jannah, who will go to Jahannam. We should have fikr all the time for our iman and make dua, Ya Allah, grant us maut on iman. And this is why one of the du'as when you wake up in the morning, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da mata wa lahi al-nushur, apart from that, is Radhitu billahi rabba wa bil islam adina wa bil muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya aw rasoola. In another narration it's Alhamdulillah, what is it? Radhitu billahi rabba wa islam adina wa bil muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya, and then one is rasoola. This you say to show Allah, and we've been taught this by the Prophet ﷺ, that we are content, radhi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb, with Muhammad ﷺ as our Nabi, and Islam as our Deen. And you should also make this dua if you can memorize this inshallah ta'ala. The talk will be inshallah on the website, people can listen to it when they can and memorize. The ulama know this, they should do rujoo with their a'imma and the imam, they know this dua. They should say, Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr ala al-iman wal-islam wal-qur'an wa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa anta al-sattar wa anta al-razzaq. Allahumma lakal hamd. Oh Allah, lakal hamd. All praises for you, Ya Allah. Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr. And all gratitude is you are deserving of it.
اللهم لك الحمد اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر على الإيمان. On the iman that you've granted me. I didn't deserve it. على الإيمان والإسلام. And the religion of Islam. Because you can have iman and be the followers of the Torah. You can have iman and be the followers of the Injil or the Zabur. Right? Or you can be ummati, the Prophet system, but you gave us Islam. اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر على الإيمان والإسلام والقرآن ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم and for giving us محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت الستار and you are the one that hides sins, you are the one that hides faults وأنت الرزاق and you are the one who provides provisions and the best of provisions. Beautiful dua. You read this dua for a few months, you will see the change in your life, in your rizq, in your life, in your health, in your wealth. You shouldn't do it just for that, you should do it for shukr. But this will teach you shukr, because what you say will fall into your heart. That's why we do dhikr, which we're going to do inshallah ta'ala. It's about time as well. So Allah's mercy envelops everything. On a final point, this is the last point inshallah ta'ala. There's many things I wanted to say, but time has gone too far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْعَصْرِ By time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ Indeed, verily, without doubt, man is in a perpetual state of loss. خُسْر, in a perpetual state of loss. He has to just wake up. If he does not do amal al-khayr, if he does not go to the masjid for salah, if he does not make wudu, if he does not stop sinning and cuts off the avenues of sin, the websites and all the other things that a person does and the company that they keep, men and women, then they will not be able to gain emancipation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. But we have to gain that, and we can do by doing tawbah, by doing dhikr Allah, and reminding ourselves again and again, whose are we? Who do we belong to? Who do we belong to? Our parents? We love and respect our parents because Allah told us, lower your wing in humility to your parents. We love our siblings and our community and our brothers and sisters because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to love our community. المؤمنون كرجل واحد إن اشتكوا عين اشتكى كل وإن اشتكوا رأس اشتكى كل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. If a pain is felt in the eye, the misal is that of a human body, one body of the ummah. If the eye feels pain, the body feels pain, if the head feels pain, the whole body feels pain. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first thing we're going to do is tawbah. As I said, أول الإقدام المريدين. These are the first steps for all of us. And we all should do tawbah. And everybody should consider that they are the most sinful. Nobody should think that I know somebody who's very sinful because he drinks alcohol. I know some sister, she doesn't cover, she goes out, meets boys, does haram. I know that sister, she lives on that road. Nobody should think about anybody. Everybody should think about themselves. I should think about myself. And then we should say, because Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا And all of you turn to repentance together. So inshallah we'll practice amal on this verse of the Holy Quran. Repeat the words if you can, inshallah ta'ala. أستغفر الله ربي أستغفر الله Oh Allah, forgive me, my Lord. أستغفر الله Oh Allah, forgive me. That would have been enough. But we're saying ربي. This is taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because we're reminding Allah, not that Allah needs reminding, but we're affirming. You're not only you are Allah, you are Rabb, you are Lord. You are the one who's nurtured us. You know when you say Abba, Amma, because it reminds you of the love that they nurtured you with. When you say Rabba, He's the loving Lord that nurtured us, created us, gave us taqliq, gave us creation. So Rabba, Astaghfirullah Rabbi. Can you say it? Astaghfirullah Rabbi. There's no shyness. If we're going to be shy and sing istighfar, what are we going to be shy with next? In the masjid of Allah, we're not going to say it. Rasulullah said, I do istighfar more than 70 times a day. Are we better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Astaghfirullah Rabbi. Min kulli dhanbin. Min means from. Kulli dhanbin, from all sins. And in your own lives, close your eyes for a moment. Men and women, brothers and sisters. Close your eyes for a moment. And think, not necessarily about particular sins, but our life, how far we've moved away from Allah and from our loving Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from this beautiful deen of Islam that other people are coming to in their droves, and we're going further and further away. What a shame. So we should say, min kulli dhanbin, astaghfirullah rabbi. min kulli dhanbin. And the next part is wa and atubu ilayh, and we turn to you with a full repentance. Astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Alhamdulillah. That has allowed us to all do amal in the masjid of Allah, in the house of Allah, with the command that Allah said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, and turn to Allah, repentance, all of you together. We should also do it independently. Now, one thing I promised I would say, how do we change our lives? Especially born and raised in this country, there's a lot of things that are out there that distract us naturally. It's human nature. Nobody's exempt, no sheikh, no peer, no baba, no mufti, no alim, no imam, no mother, no father, no brother, no sister. Nobody is exempt from this. We're all exposed to the same things in the same environment we live in. But rather than just blaming the environment, we have to change our environment. And one of the best ways, in fact, the most assured, easiest way to change the environment and ourselves is to adopt the company of pious people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this remedy. Allah says, adopt taqwa, ittaqullah, wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, and seek the company of the righteous. And everybody here loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if you could meet Imam Hassan or Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. If you could meet the grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any of the a'imma, they're our imams, Imam Musa Kazim, Imam Zain al-Abideen, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, they're our imams. Other people claim them, they're our Ahlul Bayt. They're our people. We love them, we revere them. They're our Ali Fatima, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidatul Nisa'il Ahlul Jannah. So out of our love for the Prophet and our love for the pious people, if we want to transform our lives, spend some time with the awliya. Wallahi al-azim, I swear by Allah, you can be involved in any sin and you spend with ikhlas. Not because you want to eat the samosa and pakora that people bring in front of them. You want to eat having some of those kebabs as well. Not that. For your islah. I know how sinful I am. Ya Allah, but he's a beloved servant of yours. I just want to be next to him for a bit. Because you said, kunu masadiqeen. So Ya Allah, to me, I'm being told these are the mashayikh, these are the siddiqeen. I'm come to spend time with them, Ya Allah. You know the truth. Who knows who's sincere, who's not. But Allah, you're seeing everything. Allah will give them. Even if the person is not of a higher rank or any rank, Allah will give them. But now, for the Ahlul Bartania, for the Ahlul Birmingham, a great honor is coming upon us. A grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 35th grandson, whose shajara is mahfuz. Very few sayyids, there are many sayyids in every culture. There are Bengali sayyids, Pakistani, Indian, Indonesian, Malaysian, African sayyids. Some Arabs often ask me this question in our masjid, that how can there be so many Sayyids in different cultures? I said, because the Sayyids will die amongst the Arabs first. He goes, we don't have many Sayyids. I said, because it's a hadith. Sorry? Jiji. Sayyid in the vernacular, Hazrat Maulana Udazulu is saying to just remind ourselves what Sayyid means. A Sayyid means somebody who is the direct grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. The blood of the Prophet ﷺ runs through him. And he's also known as a Sharif, or the Shurafa, the Sadat, right? Different. So, in and of itself, it's a blessing, but only if the A'mal match. If you're from a Sayyid family committing haram, it's not going to benefit, because Rasulullah ﷺ said, he whose A'mal keep him back from Jannah, his Nasab will not take him forward. His blood lineage will not take him forward. But it's an izaz. So we are fortunate that we could not see Hassan and Hussein, Sayyid al-Shabab al-Ahl al-Jannah, the leaders, the princes of Jannah. We could not see them. But their Imam Hussein, radiallahu, the martyr of Karbala, the one who was shaheed on the day of Ashura, mercilessly, brutally, his grandson, 35th direct grandson, is coming to Britain. He's arriving, inshallah ta'ala, on Tuesday, make dua for an easy journey for him. He's one of those ulama, mashayikh, whose shajara is mahfuz. Every child, boy that's born, his name is written down with their shajara. It's not just I heard that I'm a Sayyid. He's got his full nasab. He's 35th. His father, Sayyid Ali Shah, rahmatullah alayhi. And further up, Sayyid Kastur Gul Baba, rahmatullah alayhi, who's the contemporary Mujaddid al-Afsani, rahmatullah alayhi. So he is coming. He is a great, great wali Allah. You see, now I can say about him, in front of him we won't be able to say this, because the hadith says do not praise people in front of their faces, and they don't like it anyway. He is a great wali Allah. He's from the family of the Prophet ﷺ. He spent 25 years with his sheikh, the Grand Mufti of South Africa, Mufti Raza al-Haq, Sheikh al-Hadith Mufti Raza al-Haq Sabdam al-Barakatum. He wrote a taqriz, a foreword for one of Hazrat's books. And he said, I have known Sheikh Sayyid Shabir Ahmad Karkarkhel for over 30 years. But I have not seen him for many years because I moved to South Africa and he was in Pakistan. But now we've met again. And we have been left behind and he has soared high towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Mufti Raza al-Haq saying, the great wali Allah, the great Mufti, the great Imam of South Africa. He is saying that people should benefit from him. Mashayikh ulama have been phoning me for a week since they found that Hazrat is coming, all the way from Scotland. Wallahi al-Azim, from Scotland all the way down to London, and even in Europe they're phoning and they're saying, come, come. We want to come and want to meet him. So he's coming, inshallah ta'ala. We'll arrange a program for here. There's also a program at 96 Ray Valley Drive. The brothers have the cards. You can make it up that they will distribute the cards to those who want it. And they can WhatsApp message me and we'll give you the address details for Hazrat Mulaqat. You can meet him and you can sit with him and benefit from his kalam. The suhbat of the awliya is what changes lives. The dog of Ashabi Kahf, the dog, the kalb, the kutta of Ashab al-Kahf, spent a few days with the Ashab al-Kahf, Allah wali, awliya Allah, and Allah mentioned him, that dog, with izaz, with respect in the Holy Quran that you and I still recite it every Friday on Jumu'ah, Surah al-Kahf. Otherwise, Iblis is also mentioned in the Quran, and Fir'aun, and Nimrud. But he is mentioned with izaz that he served the Ashab al-Kahf. He was waiting there as a guard dog. And the ulama write that he will be transformed into a human and he will enter Jannah. A dog gets Jannah through the company of the awliya Allah. And we as insan, we go towards Jahannam by doing amal of shar. May Allah grant us tawfiq. We don't have time. We're going to do a few minutes of dhikr inshallah ta'ala. If you can turn the lights off. This is just to aid focus and attention inshallah ta'ala. We're going to do some dhikr inshallah ta'ala. Come together, please. Come close together. Not this separation. They say in English, a family that eats together stays together. I say, brothers that do dhikr together will always stay together, inshallah ta'ala. Has that kursi pe baith jaye? Kursi pe baith jaye. You sit on the chair. Allahu Akbar. So, we're going to start with La ilaha illallah. Afdhal al-dhikr, La ilaha illallah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد ريد الشريف ونس اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. And when you do la ilaha, no, nothing, imagine all the pain, all the suffering, everything will be removed from our heart. Illallah, except Allah, only Allah's love will remain. Then we will do illallah, which is only Allah, only Allah, only Allah, only Allah, only Allah. And then we will do la ilaha illahu, nothing is worthy of our worship or love except who, him, meaning Allah. Then we'll do Haqq, it's one of the names, 99 names of Allah. Allah doesn't just have 99 names, Allah has infinite names. But these are the famous names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haqq is one of them, the ultimate truth. Haqq, Haqq, when we do Haqq, we'll get rid of all the falsehood in our hearts, the falsehood that comes out, the lies that we tell, the exaggerations that we do, inshallah. And then lastly we'll do Allah, just for a few minutes inshallah ta'ala. Maghrib is closed, people need to do wudu and get ready for salah as well. لا إله إلا الله 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 لا لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم illallah, 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 illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. لا إله إلا هو 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 اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم حق 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 اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الله 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 سيدنا محمد سيدنا محمد عليه وسلم. Now just for 1 minute only, we're going to close our eyes and do the muraqabah of our Naqshbandi tariqah, which is to close our eyes and to imagine that your heart is saying Allah, Allah, and Allah is looking down upon your heart. Men and women can all do this silently. You don't need to say it in your mind, just like we've done Allah, Allah. Now listen to your heart saying Allah, Allah, and Allah is looking down. Allah says in the Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I remember you. Allah is definitely remembering us. Allah. Allah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا الله يا رحمن يا كريم. ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اعطينا نفسي تقواها وزكي انت خير من زكاها انت وليها ومولاها. ربنا اعطينا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب فتنه المسيح الدجال. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذريتنا قره اعين واجعلنا المتقين الامامه. يا الله
Accept our coming here into your masjid, Ya Allah. Accept the salah, the dhikr, adhkar that everybody has made, Ya Allah. Accept our dhikr and adhkar. Ya Allah, we are weak, we are sinful, but we have turned to you in tawbah and repentance, in the hope of your mercy, in this blessed month of Muharram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept our tawbah, Ya Allah. Accept our humble a'mal. Give us tawfiq for more a'mal. Ya Allah, attach our hearts to the masajid. Attach our hearts to the mashayikh, to the Quran, and to the sunnah of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us maut on iman. Ya Allah, raise us and put us in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, whatever difficulties we have, grant us relief from it. Those of us who are unwell, or our loved ones are unwell, grant them shifa kamila ajila mustamirra, Ya Rab. Ya Shafi, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, those who have trouble in their rizq, or have debts, Ya Allah, fulfill their debts from your asbab al-ghayb and from your infinite treasures, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whoever has any problems in their relationships with their loved ones, within their families, Ya Allah, heal their hearts, Ya Allah. Unite their hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, unite the families, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, join everybody in loving mudawwa and rahmah amongst themselves. And Ya Allah, whatever difficulties people have in coming to the masajid or visiting the masajid, Ya Allah, remove those obstacles from them, especially the obstacle of the nafs. And Ya Allah, our Hazrat Shaykh Sayyid Shabir Ahmed Kakakhil Hafidullah Ta'ala is traveling, Ya Allah, only for your sake in this old age, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, he is the grandson of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, allow us to benefit and appreciate his company, and to tell our families and loved ones to also attend wherever the programs may be. Ya Allah, grant victory to the Muslimin fi kulli al-alam wa fi Filistina khasatan, Ya Rab. Ya Allah, اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين يا رب العالمين اللهم إني نسألك من خير ما أسألك من نبيك وحبيبك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذك من شر مستعاذ من نبيك وحبيبك وعبدك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت مستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
Light jaladik. Ek light jaladik. What are the jamaat activity? 9 or what's your name, brother?
Sufyan.
Sufyan, mashallah, mashallah. Make dua for me, Sufyan. Make dua for inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Please, well, make dua for me.
Always. And inshallah, you should come on Saturday here. Text me, so I have the number. Text me, and then I'll tell you where the address is. Come, we're going to have a mafil dhikr. Hazrat Sheikh will also be here. They'll get to meet the grandson. Take care. Assalamu alaikum. Sharukh Sahab, khairiyat se. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, bita. Assalamu alaikum. Kya hal hai? Theek hai. Salaam shahid. You okay? Alhamdulillah. Allah keep you happy. And salaam alaikum for the efforts that you make. Salaam alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Hazrat, khairiyat se. MashaAllah. 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 Tabhi theek hai.
Ji, alhamdulillah.
Aap buzurgon ki barkat hai. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar.
I don't
know, I could tell, that's why I said just sit on the chair. You should just sat on the chair.
Let me just see if this is disconnected. Bear with me one second. This is a live transmission. Sometimes my brothers forget. Just cut this. One second.